Reality Winner, the former federal contractor, is scheduled to go on trial in October. She's accused of leaking classified information to a media outlet. This follows other similar cases, including those of Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning. Scott Sagan writes about these inside threats. He's a political science professor at Stanford and co-author and co-editor of the book Insider Threats. And Scott, how big of a threat are those posed by people inside an organization, specifically the government?
From a national security perspective, they're a huge threat. And we face many external enemies, whether it's the Russians or the North Koreans or in some areas, the Chinese. But each one of those threats, we have strong military organizations and diplomatic organizations that try to fend off the threats to national security that those potential adversaries give us. It's much harder, however, to deal with insider threats. They're rare, but they're very serious when they occur, of someone going rogue, of someone either selling or giving materials to a foreign adversary, or in some cases, for example, Nidal Hassan, the U.S. Army officer who opened fire at Fort Hood on his fellow officers, you can have an internal threat. It's much harder for our elite military organizations to deal with insiders because we like to think that we're all loyal, and for the most part, most Americans are. But there are clearly bad apples in any organization, and we have a hard time finding them.
So you would think that there would be better maybe screening methods so that people going into the armed services or who work for government contractors wouldn't be prone to leaking information, or members of the armed services, for example, wouldn't go off and shoot some of their colleagues.
Well, you would like to think that our background checks always work, but frankly, they don't. Background checks should be thought of as taking a snapshot of an individual. It shows where somebody is at a particular time in terms of their mindset, their loyalty, their emotional stability. But people change over time.
Do you find that the insiders who tend to do these things, are they people who knew what they were going to do when they got into that position? Are they people whose views changed, or maybe they became disillusioned and decided later on that this was something they wanted to do?
It's more often the latter than the former. There have been some famous cases, for example, people during the Manhattan Project who were planted by Soviet agents into the system. But it's more common that someone will get recruited or someone will be a self-recruited individual because they became disgruntled. So one of the lessons here is to reduce the disgruntlement that people have about the organizations in which they work.
So in a case, though, like Edward Snowden, for example, it seems like his disgruntlement was not with the company with which he was working, but the policies of the government. Is that a harder thing to try to guard against?
It's a much harder thing to guard against because we have diverse opinions within all of our national security agencies about what the policies should be.
One of the things that you write about is the concept that maybe there's too much classified information and maybe there are too many people with access to that classified information. I'm wondering what some of the solutions are for that. Like, what can we do about that?
Oh, the first solution is to be more intelligent in the way that we classify things. Right now, there's a natural tendency to say, well, I'm going to make more things classified and therefore make it harder for people to share information or to pass on information in illegal ways. The end result of that, however, is that more people inside the government have to get clearances to read more and more information. The end result of that is that the mechanism by which people get cleared becomes less reliable because people have to rush through the system. So we've created this self-reinforcing problem where we have too much classified information. We therefore have to have too many people who have clearances. We therefore have a slow, laborious, and imperfect process to make people to get these clearances, and the end result is that we have less reliable systems. We should have highly classified information protected very, very well, and the rest of the information that is currently classified that should not be highly classified, we should have much more openness and transparency about.
Do you think that technology has in some way played a role in that, in the sense that it might be a little easier now to really spread information that is leaked or taken that is classified, as opposed to, you know, maybe having to submit a FOIA request or maybe somebody having to put it in the mail and then you have to sort of disseminate it over a longer period of time?
Yeah, there are three problems here. The first one is the one that you're identifying. New technology makes it much easier to disseminate information very quickly. You put something out on the internet, social media will take it on, it'll start getting tweeted, and it can spread like wildfire. That's one problem. The second problem, however, is some of that information may be false information. But then the last problem is that technology has made in some ways it easier for an insider to gather more information internally. And that's the other thing that we really need to work on as a U.S. government is to have more silos between different parts of classified information. It is shocking that a Chelsea Manning or an Edward Snowden would have that much information on their computers. Now, we need to have some classified information, but we shouldn't have it all put in the same places, and we need to restrict who needs to see what for why, need to know, rather than your status in the organization should determine what classified information you get.
Scott Sagan is a professor of political science at Stanford University and co-author and co-editor of the book Insider Threats. Scott, thanks a lot.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.